We'll begin reading in verse number 7 of Luke chapter number 2. The Bible said, "And she brought forth her firstborn son." Now that is important, my friend. I want to encourage you to remember, here we're talking about the birth of Jesus, and Mary was a virgin. Would you say amen right there? Amen. She was a virgin and knew not man. Joseph was espoused to her, but they had not had any physical union. Now you say, why is that important, preacher? Because if Jesus was born like you and I, then I say it reverently and respectfully, but he would be going to hell along with all the rest of us. It required a virgin birth for him to escape the sin nature. Everybody that's been born apart from the Lord Jesus has been born with a sin nature. You do wrong because of the sin nature. Amen. Now look, as he says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes." That word there is the word grave clothes. Same word used when talking about Lazarus in John 11. And Lazarus was in grave clothes. So here, this young child, this infant baby, is wrapped in grave clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, I stop there and say this. You see, Jesus was his earthly name. Christ was his heavenly name. The word Christ is the word Christos, meaning the one sent from God. You see, my friend, not only was he Jesus, but he was the one sent from God to redeem us of our sin. Now read on, please. "And so there the Bible said, and you shall be a sign unto you, you'll find a babe wrapped, swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Read on down. "It came pass as the angels were gone away unto them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And in verse 19 is what I want you to see this morning. "But Mary kept all these things in her," kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I would see that verse. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Would you pray with me, please, this morning? Bow your heads, a moment of prayer. Brother Darrell Cagle, would you lead us, please, to the throne of grace? Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. And you hold your Bible open this morning. I'll ask you to turn to a couple other passages today. A few years ago, several years ago now, I guess it is, Mark Lowry said that as they were traveling on the bus one time, God began to speak to his heart, and he began to write down some words, and it formed into a song. He and Buddy Green, they got together and wrote the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" My daughter said that's her favorite song at Christmas time. I am a thrift store shopper, as many of you know, and I was in one of the thrift stores one day. In fact, it was in New Mexico, and ran across a little book, and it was entitled "Mary, Did You Know?" And it was put out some years ago, but it had in there the CD of Mark Lowry singing "Mary, Did You Know?" That just kind of stuck in my mind about what Mary actually knew. And of course, I'd asked JC last Sunday morning, sing that for us, and God saw fit not to put all that together last Sunday. But here's what I want you to understand, is that one of the stanzas of that song says this: "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That child that you delivered would soon deliver you." And I thought about that in this verse right here in verse 19. Mary kept all those things in her heart, and she pondered them. She thought about them. And I thought to myself, you know, how much did Mary really know that night that she held the baby Jesus? That night that he was born in a lowly stable. That night that she looked down into the face of her newborn infant. She was looking literally into the face of God. How much did Mary really realize that night? And so with that thought, I want to give you about four or five things this morning about the baby and about what Mary actually maybe knew and maybe she did not know. But first of all, I wonder, and I say, Mary, did you know that you were holding the creative Christ in your arms that night? If you would, turn over in your Bibles to the book of Colossians and chapter number 1. Mary, did you know that you were holding the creative Christ? Now watch this. In chapter number 1 of the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he says there, beginning in, let's look in verse 12, and Paul said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered from the power of darkness and has translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son." Boy, I'm glad this morning I'm a child of the King. Aren't you? Say amen. I'm glad to thank God that I can say today that Jesus is my elder brother. I can say that God is there, and I can say that I'm not kin to the devil anymore. Say amen. Now listen, if I get up here and preach and halfway talk, y'all can at least say amen. Help me out, all right? That's a little bit better. Just one good old time, just say amen, just for the sake of it.
Amen.
That's good. Now that's what I want to hear. All right. And so here he says that we have been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God. Now, folks, before you were saved, before I was saved, we were in the family of the devil. The Bible said, Jesus said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father ye will do." He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And so he said, the works, you would follow them. You see, Miss Tammy, is that when me and you, before we were saved, we were not in God's family. We were not a part of God's family. We have been birthed into the family of God. We have been adopted into the family of God. My father was the devil, but thank God I don't kin to him anymore. I've been placed in the family of God. Now I can say, God is my Father. You realize today, if you're not saved, you're not in God's family. No, sir. You're not in God's family. You have never, if you've not been saved, you are an alien, you're a stranger In fact, this whole thing is just foreign to you. But friend, once you get adopted in the family of God, and Jesus said in John chapter number 3, talking to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said you got to be born from above. And thank God, I'm glad for the day that I was birthed into the family of God, and now I am a child of the King. Now watch this. Here's what I want you to see. And so he reads on. We have redemption, verse 14. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I don't know about you, but I got to take a bath in that blood every day. Say amen. Amen. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I'm glad that the blood will never lose its power. The blood will cleanse you from every sin. And so he says there, now watch it. And who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now here's what I want you to see. For by him, talking about Jesus, for by him were all things created. Oh, let's stop there just a second. Now I believe that God created this world, but it was through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that he created this world. He said, by him all things are created. Now watch it, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. He created, some of you fanning this morning. I know it's hot to me. Praise God. But now I tell you what, that wind that'll go outside, it'll cut you in two. He created the invisible wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it, can't you? He created everything you see, everything that's invisible, everything that's visible. Jesus created it all. He's the created Christ. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Would you read that with me? Everybody look in your Bible and say it with me. All things were created what? Say it one more time. All things are created by him and what? For him. God created everything in this world. Amen? Amen. Now, folk, I hate to blow your mind. I hate to burst your bubble. But this crowd today that says this world just evolved and there was some big old bang and it all just flung together, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. For the Bible said God in the person of Jesus created everything in this world. He scooped down and he created the caverns and he created the seas and he created the atmosphere. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. He hung them in the right amount of space. He took the earth and put it on a 23 degrees axis and it spins around the sun. We have four seasons. If it was any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Any further, we'd freeze to death. But he put it right there in space and hung it on nothing. That's the kind of Jesus he is. Now watch that. Look here in verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know what that means? That means, my friend, that word consists means to hold together. Thank God, I'm glad that he's holding it all together. I mean, listen, not only did he make it, but he's keeping it made, amen. He's keeping it to where it's not flinging off into outer space. It ain't like something that you and I make. It's not like what, you know, today they talk about all these satellites they send up in outer space over a period of time, they start wearing out, they start falling back, and they call it space debris and space junk. And when it comes back in the atmosphere, you better hope you're not standing where it hit, because it'll put a knot on your noggin. Amen. You see, we as humans, we might be able to fling a satellite out there in outer space. We can't keep it out there. But God, he made it. Every star that you see, every sun that you see, every moon, every planet, he put it out yonder. and he's holding it together now. He's keeping it right in place. Mary, did you know that? That night that you held that little baby in your arms, did you realize, Mary, that he was the one that created all this world and everything in it? That was him, the creative Christ. Mary, did you know that? Did you know that? Number two, Mary, that night that you held that baby in your arms, did you know that you're holding the crucified Christ? For the Bible said there, back over there in Luke's gospel, that she took and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now, those swaddling clothes, as I mentioned a while ago, were the same clothes that Lazarus had when they buried Lazarus and put him in the tomb. Now, I'm not trying to get into areas I don't need to get into, but when a body back in that day, when somebody died, they didn't have embalming techniques like they have today. And so they'd have to take that body and they would take strips of linen cloth and wrap that body very tightly, because if not, rigor mortis would set in. You know what that is, I hope? It's when after death the body begins to contort and it begins to draw. I've seen a man one time when he died. He'd been dead for a few days, and they didn't know he was dead. And so when they found him, he was all twisted up. And I've seen that. It's not a pretty sight. Now, friend, here's the thing. When Jesus was born, Mary took the same type of a burial cloth and wrapped that baby in those burial cloths. I mean, why in the world would you want to wrap a newborn up like that? Because you see, this baby was not born to live. The baby Jesus was born to die on Calvary's cross. It's seen in the gifts that the wise men brought. Y'all help me out. The wise men brought, well, now, we don't know how many wise men there were. Amen. Come on, help me out now. We always think there were three. There might have been a whole slew of them. We don't know, but they brought three gifts. What were the three gifts? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Gold, we understand. A gift for a king. And here he is, the king of the Jews. They said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We're come to worship him. So rightly so, they bring some gold to offer to a king. Frankincense, a sweet smelling savor. It would be like the word frankincense, like incense. You'd light it and it'd burn and give off a great sweet smelling savor. We can understand that because he is a sweet savor. He's as the priest would light that in the Old Testament and go up to heaven, a sweet smelling savor. But that third one has always puzzled me, because it would be like having a baby shower for Stephanie. And people bring all kind of stuff, you know. They'll bring baby diapers and they'll bring a car seat and they'll bring this and they'll bring that. What would you think if somebody came to baby shower and brought a little coffin? You say, you've lost your mind. My, that's an insult. Why? What in the world are you thinking about? But that's exactly what they did there. Myrrh was a spice that was used to put in those burial cloths to keep the odor of rotting flesh down. And here, when Jesus was born, he was born to die. Mary, did you know you were holding in your arms the crucified Christ that one day would go to Calvary, one day would be nailed in anger, one day he would bleed for you, one day he would suffer for you, one day his side would be pierced for you, one day the blood would come down for you. Mary, did you know that day when you held that baby in your arms, you're holding the crucified Christ? If Jesus had died any other way besides crucifixion, you could throw this Bible away, and you and I would be headed for hell. The prophets of old foretold it. The psalmist David, he foretold it. And yet, my friends, crucifixion was not the practiced way of execution for the Jews. The Jews stoned people to death. They did not crucify them. Crucifixion did not come in until the Romans came and Rome controlled Jerusalem. And when Jesus was crucified, that was the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The crucified Christ. Third of all, Mary, did you know that you're holding the coming Christ? Mary, did you know that day that he was born into this world? Mary, did you really realize that this is not the beginning nor the end, that Mary, the Bible said that he would come again? Did you know that? Mary, did you know that he would go to Calvary and die for your sins? Mary, did you know that? Mary, did you know also this was his first coming, but thank God he's coming back the second time. And I believe, my friend, we're more closer now than we was last year. We are closer. This could be the dawning of that day. We have sung about it. We have preached about it. But my friend, things are falling into place so rapidly. If you'll read your Bible and read the newspaper and look at the news that's going on, you must agree with me and say, Jesus is coming back. Amen. This may be the last Christmas we spend down here on this earth. We might spend the next one celebrating in the presence of God. For I believe this, that one day the trumpet of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to be raised. The living's going to be changed. And he's coming back for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? I'm saying, Fred, I didn't say, are you a Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, whatever else. Are you ready if the trump of God was to sound before tonight, tomorrow night, before 2013 rolls around, before this physical cliff takes effect? Would you be ready to meet Christ if the trump of God sounds? Mary, did you know that? Last of all, Mary, did you know you're holding the conquering Christ? Look in your Bibles, Revelation chapter 1. For just a minute and I'll be done. Revelation chapter 1 verse 17. John, the beloved apostle. By the way, he is the only apostle that did not suffer death by martyrdom. He was not. They tried to kill John. The tradition tells us that they took John and he was an aged preacher. He was well on up, I think somewhere in his 80s or so. They tried to kill him by putting him in a cauldron of boiling oil, and it did him no harm. The Roman emperor was outraged, and so he was fearful of John. John was, by the way, the pastor at the church of Ephesus at the time. And so instead of trying to kill him the second time, they took him over to the Isle of Patmos, a rocky, barren, desolate island. They figured they'd cast an old man out yonder and he'd die of starvation, lack of water, whatever else. And they were going to get rid of him. But God had other plans. And John, in Revelation chapter number 1, John is, the Bible said he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Boy, I tell you what, isn't it something good about coming to church on Sunday? Say amen. Oh, listen. I don't know about you, but I think the best day of the week is the first day of the week. I think the best part of any week is coming to the house of God. And I know many of you made an effort to get here today. But John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. By the way, it don't take a crowd to get in the Spirit of God. Amen. Where he said, two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of some of the best meetings I've ever been in. Brother Tom Robinson up in Virginia, some of the best meetings I've been in. Brother Tom's church, Brother Jeffrey and Dana's been up yonder. Brother Tom's church is just a little old storage building, about 12 by 20, if it's that big. And got a little, just a handful of folks in there. But I tell you what, folks, I've been there, and the presence of God's been in there. But here's John, here's what he says. Watch in chapter 1, verse 17. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, as I was in the Spirit, notice here, he said, and I saw him. And when I saw him, I fell dead at his feet. I fell at his feet dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Do you know what makes Jesus different than any other religion? Do you know what the difference between Jesus and Muhammad is? Do you know what the difference between Jesus and any other religion is? That thank God he's alive today. Amen. He's not dead. Amen. Go over yonder to Israel. You'll not find his bones rotting. You won't find a coffin. No, sir. For he is alive. Amen. And Jesus appeared unto John that day, and he said, John, don't you fear one bit, because I am he that was dead and now I'm alive. And listen, John, I'm alive forevermore. I'm not going to die anymore. Amen. And I'll live as long as Jesus lives. Thank God for that. Now he said this, I was dead and behold, I'm alive. I've got the keys of hell and of death. Keys speak of authority. I mean, listen, I've got in my pocket here, I got a set of keys, all different kind of stuff. But you see that, Miss Gail, you see that big old key right there? That's a good old size key, ain't it? There's only, but as far as I know, there's only two people's got this key right here. And it says on their gatehouse. I like that. But there's only two people, and the other one is sitting in this room this morning. That's the key to my office back yonder. And Brother James has got the other. That's as far as I know. Now, keys speak of authority. What does that mean? That means this, that I've got the authority, and he's got the authority, if need be, to go in that office back yonder. And you say, why'd you lock it up? Because we got my sound equipment and somebody came in here and stole some of it. Not y'all, but amen. So we locked it up. Amen. We figured we knew who it was, some kids. But anyhow, here's the deal. Speak of authority. Some of you got a key to your house. You don't just go out and give a key away to everybody. No, sir. A key is authority. And Jesus said, I've got the keys of hell and of death. That means that I have the power over them. And thank God, Jesus, he is the conquering Christ. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I'm glad that I'm on the winning side. Amen. I'm thankful this morning. Mary, did you know when you held him, when you held that baby in your arms, did you know you're holding the conquering Christ? Well, then I did say last of all, but then also she was holding the crown Christ. He's the crown Christ. John said, I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge, make war, and his eyes were the flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations. He shall rule them a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierce of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture, on his thigh, written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. First time he came in Bethlehem's manger. Next time he comes, he'll be riding a white horse. First time he came, it was in obscurity. No one knew him. Next time he comes, every eye shall see him. The first time he came, they rejected him. They spit upon him. The next time he comes, he'll say unto them, depart from me into everlasting fire. The first time he came, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Next time he comes to rule the world. My friend, the first time he came, no one had time for him. They said, we don't have room for you. Next time, all the world will stop and gaze upon him. You say, who is he? Mary, did you know that baby you was holding is the crucified, conquering, Christ who's coming again. Aren't you glad? I know one thing. Mary knows it today. She may not have known everything back yonder, but she knows it today. Now here it is. You know it today too. You know there's more prophecy about his second coming than it was his first coming. His first coming was down, right down to the T. It was foretold in the minor prophets that he'd be born in Bethlehem. It was told when he'd be born. It was told many centuries ago how he'd be born. And yet, my friend, there's more prophecy about his second coming than he was his first. Everybody believes he came the first time. My friend, he's coming the second time.